Hello there, boxing fans around the world. Thank you for joining me once again here on Talk and Fight for another episode of Boxing News Today. And today we're going to start off with a quick little announcement out of Top Rank. Top Rank, as you know, are putting on a show featuring Emmanuel Navarrete against Denis Berencik for the WBO lightweight title. And that's going to take place on May 18th, and they've just announced the co-feature bout. It's going to feature hometown hero Giovanni Santillan. He's 32-0, 17 knockouts, and he's going to fight fellow unbeaten welterweight Brian Norman Jr., who is very well familiar to us here on Talk and Fight, 25-0, 19 knockouts. And that's going to take place at the Pechanga Arena in San Diego on ESPN. Also on that fight, by the way, heavyweight knockout specialist Richard Torres Jr., but we don't know who he'll be fighting just yet. We await that decision and announcement. Speaking of announcements, over on social media, we see that Ryan Garcia is having his fun with Rolly Romero in a reaction to Romero's loss to Pitbull Cruz, that 8-round technical knockout. Recently, Garcia says Rolly's chin is toast at this point in his career, and he can no longer take a punch. First, it was the 6-round knockout loss to Javonta Davis in 2022. And then a video was leaked of Rolly being knocked out by a sparring partner. Now Rolly is getting knocked out by a much smaller 5'4 Pitbull Cruz, who came up from lightweight to challenge him. And Ryan thinks that Rolly is finished as a fighter because his chin has been compromised and he can't take a punch anymore. Anyway, you might recall that Rolly had the opportunity to fight Ryan Garcia last year, I don't know which one of them walked away from that one, but obviously Ryan thought he was going to make more money against a much, let's say Pitbull and Ryan might make a good fight, but would it have made more money than that Rolly Romero? I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. What I wanted to mention, in addition to that Ryan Garcia comment about Romero, was something he posted on Twitter, now called X. Check this out. This solar eclipse is a sign from God. Some many connections, so many coincidences that aren't coincidences. Repent, or the wrath of God will come unto America. It is maybe too late. What drugs is he on? Wow. All right. Quick little announcement here out of Panama. Jonathan Minial, 4-0, 4 knockouts. And his opponent, Jonathan Torres, 4-0, 1 knockout. Both at the scale at 140, the limit of the super lightweight division. And they're going to fight for the vacant national championship, which will be on the line at the main event of the Laguna Premium Summer Boxing Fest to be held at the Arena Roberto Duran down in Panama City, Panama, coming up very shortly, actually. Featherweights Kadir Macias, 3-0, and Ibrahim Valdespino, 3-0, are going to go toe-to-toe as well. They both weighed in at 126, and they'll be taking place as a co-main fight over 8 rounds. Also, Angel Bethencourt, 4-0, registered the limit of the flyweight division, and his opponent, Santos Villar, 2-1, weighed in 111 pounds. So it looks like some good fighting coming up very shortly in Panama. Very good. Quick little story out of All-Star Boxing. All-Star Boxing President and CEO Felix Zabala Jr. has announced a revamped multi-year promotional agreement with Los Angeles-based WBA number 4, WBO number 2 flyweight contender Anthony Alasquega. He's 6-1, 4 knockouts. Alasquega recently dispatched former WBO global champ, number 5 ranked Jamel Magramayo on a telecast of Prime Video 5, and that took place in Tokyo, Japan. Zabala Jr., he said, we felt confident in Tony's ability from the beginning with his trainer, Rudy Hernandez. The plan was always to fast-track him to a world title shot. Uh-huh. Let's move on to one of my favorite fighters, Sky Nicholson. young lady from Down Under, featherweight. She had something to say in light of the recent defeats of a trio of Australian boxers in names of Liam Wilson, Michael Zarafa, and Tim Tzu, okay? Because she's about to fight Sarah Mahfood in Las Vegas, and taking place at the Fontainebleau. All right. She says there are still big fights for Australians in the offing for Liam Paro, George Kambosos Jr., the Maloney brothers, and one of her friends, Jai Apatea. She said, "I like to see any Aussie do well. Jai is a special talent and will do some very special things in the sport. He is definitely causing some waves at the moment. It is very exciting to be part of it in the Australian boxing boom. I'm hopeful it will have that knock-on effect because we have golden eras in the past. I feel boxing doesn't get the love, recognition, and support it deserves in Australia right now, so I'm hoping that with the big names floating around in the top Australian divisions, Australia will get behind the boxers and support us." Nicholson, by the way, is 9-0 and has been in Vegas for nearly 2 weeks with coaches Eddie Lamb and Bradley Skeet. I remember she stopped Lucy Wildheart over in Dublin in round number 9 in her last fight. That was back in September. And also as a student of the sport with more than 150 amateur fights behind her and her ambition to reach the top, she's now fighting, as I said, the 14-1 Denmark-based Mahfood, who's been quite competitive, having fought Amanda Serrano for the vacant WBC title. And she thinks the victory will put her up alongside some of the fighters that she admires, said Nicholson. "I think Sandy Ryan is a very special talent. She has excellent boxing IQ, but she has that dog in her because she loves to have a tear up. She loves to fight. Very exciting to watch. I think she'll do some big things in the 147 division." She says, "I've been a diehard Katie Taylor fan since I was young. I love that she's reigning in a new weight division now. It was exciting for her, especially after she suffered a loss to Chantel. As we know, that's gone back and forth." Anyway, she continues and concludes, There are still some pretty big fights out there for Katie. I would like to see Alicia Baumgartner fight Katie Taylor because they are two of my favorites," says Nicholson. "I think it would be a huge fight for women's boxing because they're both very marketable, very talented, and two of the biggest names in the sport for women right now." Good on Nicholson. All right. Speaking of chatter and blather, KSI was yapping on a podcast the other day, and he thinks he might want to get back into the boxing ring after getting clobbered by Tommy Fury, of all people. Anyway, so he called out not only Tommy Fury, but also Jake Paul, Floyd Mayweather, and Conor McGregor as fellas he would like to fight next. KSI, well, as you know, launched that Misfits Boxing League over in the UK. He said the Jake fight, the Tommy fight as well. Let's do the rematch. He said, "There could always be Mayweather, Conor McGregor. Has to be a top tier, though." You know, Christ. KSI has history with all four of these guys. And, you know, realistically, the feud with Jake Paul goes back to 2019 when KSI beat Paul's brother by split decision. And the American 27 vowed to avenge Lodge. But in the years since, the two have failed to agree to terms and have instead gone their separate ways. You know, so let's see what happens with, who cares about KSI. All right, in more important fight news, we have some undercard announcements finally. Remember we had been reporting on the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia show set for April 20th. Their undercard has finally been announced, and there'll be four fights on the pay-per-view undercard in total. And here's the rundown. We're finally going to see Arnold Barbosa Jr. back in the ring. He's going to take on Sean McComb. It's going to be a 10-round super lightweight bout. Barbosa had previously been announced for the show, and it has been speculated he's been waiting in the wings if either Haney or Garcia pull out of that main event for whatever reason. As I mentioned earlier, we'll see. Bektimir Milikuziev will take on Pierre de la Bombe in a 10-round super middleweight fight. John Scrappy Ramirez will face David Jimenez in a 12-rounder for the WBA interim flyweight title. And Charles Conwell will make his debut with Golden Boy in a 10-round fight against Nathaniel Gilmore. As we all know, Barbosa, he's 29-0, 11 knockouts, made his debut with Golden Boy in January after coming over from Top Rank. And he stopped Zolasani Nadanganini in 8 rounds, a 32-year-old assault contender who just gotten a crack at the top level. And frankly, that's not going to change against McComb. He's 18-1, 5 knockouts. He's a 31-year-old southpaw from Belfast who's on a 7-fight win streak after losing to Gavin Gwynn back in 2021. So Barbosa versus Sean McComb, that's going to be a great fight, great super lightweight bout, and we're looking forward to seeing that result. Let's conclude this episode with a bit of advice from Tim Bradley. As we all know, Tim, I think he was a 5-time world champ back in his day. Anyway, he's writing for ESPN. He's got some advice for new fans who don't really appreciate the nuances of boxing. They might see that there's a fight on television or on their laptop or whatever device they're looking at, but they might just skip by it, not understanding those nuances I mentioned, saying, I just don't like boxing. So here's what he says you need to look out for. Number one, a fighter's approach can tell you their game plan. Okay. A fighter moving forward signifies aggression. It's an intention to dictate the pace and engage in close range combat. And by the way, if you want all what Tim has to say, just scroll down in my description on the YouTube channel, and I'll give you that link is there to this particular story. Number two, athleticism usually means entertaining fights. Athleticism is the genesis of all sports, including boxing. Superior coordination, balance, strength, speed, power, and agility are essential for success in the ring. Number three, the bigger the fighter, the harder the punches, but don't rule out the smaller pugilist. In boxing, the heavyweight division is the biggest. It's often called the glamour division, as we all know, with fighters over 200 pounds and sometimes close to 300 pounds competing. These fighters tend to produce more knockouts due to their greater physical power. However, lower weight classes produce more skill, quickness, and agility. There's more action, he says, amongst the smaller men. Occasionally, he adds, exceptional smaller fighters like Manny Pacquiao emerge with remarkable knockout abilities, even when moving up in weight class. In today's generation, boxers such Nayana Inoue, who fights at 122, and 135-pound Javonta Tank Davis, showcase impressive skills and knockout power despite their smaller stature. Number four, calmness can be a great weapon in boxing. Calmness in boxing, he asked, really? Calmness is a helpful ingredient inside the boxing ring because it opens doors to more opportunities. A composed boxer can spot openings, dodge shots, and remain unfazed by setbacks. Boxers vary in this approach, though. Some live in chaos with demanding physicality, while others prefer a controlled technical style and focus. It's important to recognize both forms of calmness, passive and aggressive. I like fighters with a mix of both, says Timothy. Number five, good apparel equals success. Look no further than Tyson Fury. A boxer's attire can reveal much about their boxing style and confidence. Many boxers believe that looking good boosts their confidence before and during a match. While a stylish uniform doesn't earn extra points, it reflects a boxer's success and can enhance self-worth. Hairstyles, flashy outfits, robes, and grand ring walks accompanied by singers and other entertainers signal confidence and egotism. A boxer's confidence correlates with their performance in the ring, says Timothy Bradley. Okay, fair enough. I don't know about Ben Whitaker, though, in his last ring walk, but I'll leave it at that. Number six, red corner, blue corner, who's in the corner? A fighter in the red corner often tends to be more popular and has a higher likelihood of winning. Promoters typically place the favorite fighter, the A-side or house fighter, in the red corner. However, in matchups between two champions, this tradition can change. Ultimately, the corner color choice is part of the contract negotiations. Keep a watchful eye on the boxer fighting out of the red corner. More than likely, they should win. Number seven, footwork, righty-lefty matchups, and stance. A boxer's footwork is crucial for both defense and offense. Proper foot positioning, such as aligning the feet shoulder width apart, enhances mobility in every direction, positioning for efficient striking. Skilled boxers like Vasily Lomachenko use active upper body movement along with footwork, including pendulum bouncing and lateral movements called front foot step shuffles to get around his opponent's flank to gain a positioning advantage. A boxer's goal is to avoid getting hit while landing punches of their own. Yes, hit and avoid getting hit. Defense and the Philly shell, made famous by our own Tim Witherspoon. Being defensively sound in boxing is critical for longevity and success. Great defense should also provide countering opportunities. Techniques such as bobbing and weaving, slipping punches, and footwork are vital to avoiding punches. The eyes of a boxer indicate his knowledge and experience as they anticipate and react to oncoming punches. Keep an eye on that. Excellent defensive boxers closely watch their opponent's movements and positioning. Boxers with exceptional eyes can often predict and evade punches. Living legend Floyd Mayweather's mastery in defense frustrated his opponents with his elusive tactics. A boxer's ability to avoid being hit not only protects him from harm, but also psychologically wears down their opponent. Good point. Number 9, body attack. Let's go for that liver shot. Neil Adil, my often favorite shot in boxing. Anyway, focusing on attacking an opponent's body in boxing shows skill, strategy, and intelligence. Investing in the body usually pays great dividends late in matches. Whoever knew that punching someone in the body could weaken their resolve? It can even drain a boxer's stamina, zap their energy, and slow their movement. The most devastating and powerful one-punch knockouts aren't as dramatic as you think. A well-placed liver shot delivered on the upper right flank is the most painful punch in boxing. It seizes the liver momentarily, sending shockwaves throughout the entire nervous system. The pain can last for hours after the match, sometimes even days. Trust me, he says, I know. Well done, Timothy. All right. Effective punching and scoring is number 10, rounding out Timothy Bradley's list. When scoring a boxing match, three judges are seated ringside. If the commentator's table were set up to the south side of the ring, the judges would be seated east, west, and north, centered along the edge of the ring apron. Each judge gives the winner around 10 points and the loser 9 or fewer. A point is deducted for any knockdowns. Remember that not every judge scores the fight the same. They can see different things from their different positioning. And as we've often said on Talk and Fight, our advice to boxers, don't leave it in the hands of the judges. Anyway, there are no computer systems, says Timothy, monitors or punch counters accessible to the judges when scoring a fight. However, 99% of judges score each round using one criterion, effectively punching power punches in the scoring area, which is the entire front half of the upper torso and high on the biceps minus the forearm. The frontal lobe, top of the head, the temple is also a scoring area. Notice I didn't say clean punches, he adds, which are used in the amateur scoring system. Professional boxing is the hurt business. Although the jab is a vital weapon, effective hard shots are king when scoring a boxing match. For example, if fighter A lands 10 jabs during a round and fighter B lands a right cross that buckles fighter A, according to the number one scoring criterion, fighter B will likely win that round. It's the effectiveness of the punch that matters most. And that, boxing fans, wraps us up for today. I thank you for joining me. I appreciate it very much. Remember to like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and we'll see you again 11 a.m. Eastern Time here on Talk and Fight. See you then.